Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Rapport Stereo Podcast. I'm excited about this. I am here with the Good Liars, Derek and Avram. Jason and
Very
Avram.
Close. Yeah, there
okay.
we go.
So now I told you guys, because I'm so used to your character names, I was thrown off by that. The Good Liars are here who... How could you explain who the Good Liars are and what you guys do?
DeVram?
Well, the Good Liars, we kind of do comedy in the real world, usually, you know, socially and politically aware stuff. We started during Occupy Wall Street.
Okay.
So it's been a while now. And we posed as investment bankers. And we started a movement called Occupy Wall Street. So we were going to out-occupy the occupiers.
Okay.
We thought we're going down there to shoot like one video. And we
told the protesters there, listen, if you guys keep doing this, we're going to have to give up our cocaine habit. We're going to have to sell our third home. You got to stop this whole movement.
This stuff's expensive and you guys are trying to take our money,
like
basically.
You're fucking us up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then we got real investment bankers that joined our, what we thought was a joke. They actually came and joined our protests, non-ironically, and joined the Occupy Wall Street movement. And from there, we realized, like, one, we don't have a sense of shame.
Right.
Because we will go and do crazy stuff in the real world. And there's something, you know, there's points to be made by doing crazy stuff in the real world that you know, hopefully has a point.
Right. We were kind of saying what we thought people would say behind closed doors out in the open, and that seemed to have legs, so we continued on with it.
Got you. All right. You guys have a film that I saw and I love, and I think everybody's going to love, that is starting to stream the 4th of November, everywhere for free. The Supporters is streaming for free the 4th of November, today, November 4th, or whenever you're seeing this video. But you should be watching it today. I mean, don't you think people should be lined up to watch this?
Yeah.
Or listen to this I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. It's I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast with the Good Liars. The film is The Supporters, so we don't need Marvel, DC.
No. No. There's too many of those. These are the new superheroes. Superheroes for a new generation.
Right.
Derek and Dale.
Right.
Yes, our character.
Now, did you just come up with that right now, the superhero? Or have you been thinking that the supporters and the Good Liars are the superheroes for a new generation?
Maybe we've been thinking about
We got to put that on the poster.
Yeah,
I
definitely got to put that on the poster.
Yeah, yeah, I think because if you didn't...
Subconscious, maybe.
Yeah, because I that might have been... I feel like you've been sleeping on that and waiting for it to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, the film, the Supporters, is out now, streaming worldwide. I love it. I am honored to be a producer on it. And I'll just explain it in my point of view, and then I'll let you guys break it down. In my point of view, to what it is it's a Jackass, Johnny Knoxville, Borat, Eric Andre sort of attack approach on every single thing that has been happening politically in the last 4.5, let's say 5 years. And the guys go on the street and it's performance art. They are in their characters as the Good Liars, Derek and Dale, and they get gold. And they've gotten gold and they've went super viral. I found them. I knew about them before I saw the film. And then when I heard about the film with the Midas guys, I was like, absolutely, I want to be a part of it. Because as listeners of the podcast know, politics has become something that I've jumped into in the last 5 years only. Literally. Occupy Wall Street. I was like, you freaks are out there. Like, I didn't give a fuck up. Literally. It was Trump. It was Charlottesville. It was the disrespect of John McCain, who I couldn't tell you anything about other than he was a warrior. But I was just like, how fucking dare you speak about another person who served this country this way? And I saw their videos. There's plenty of videos online. But I want to pull up, and I want to pull the first one that I think is a classic one, where you guys were in the room with Trump. Set this video up, the You're Boring Us video.
Sure. We were in New Hampshire, and this was actually, I think, the first video we ever did with like a pop. Well, that's not true. But the first one we did in the 2016 election.
This was 2016.
This was 2016.
Before he was president.
Before he was president.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So we were, I guess, the second row at a Trump rally, and we had a couple things planned. And then in the middle of the rally, we started getting bored with him. You know, he's like just saying the same crap over and over again, repeating himself, talking about himself. We started talking to each other, being like, if we called him boring right now, that would hurt his feelings more than like any other insult you could throw at him.
But it was really genuine. I mean, there's all this energy in the room, all these people waiting in line in the cold. It was freezing. Some of them wearing shorts. I still don't know why half the people were wearing cargo shorts. But people are in there. There's like the room is packed. And then he starts talking and it's all the same shit. And it just, the energy slowly died. So like Jason was saying, I mean, we had a couple other ideas. And in the moment, we're like yawning. Or what's going on here? This is actually boring.
Wolf, please pull up the your boring video.
This is boring.
We're bored.
Tell some jokes. This is
something. Entertain us.
This is boring.
Come on.
So, very important.
We're
very
bored.
This is. Are you serious? This is boring.
This is boring. We came here to be entertained.
What? Get out of here. This is boring.
I'm so bored.
I love you, but this is really boring.
Donald, you're boring.
Boring.
That's the look right there.
So that's real time of his reaction.
That's real time.
Yeah.
I just want to articulate how much I love that video and how much I appreciate just that alone. What it means to me, and I'm sure what it means to people that have watched it and the people that are just seeing it now and hearing it now, how much that means to me. And so when you did that video, that's a 60-second clip, I think. Maybe not even 60 seconds.
Yeah,
about 30.
30 seconds of fucking magic. That's 30 seconds of pure, just so you know, young filmmakers out there, people who want to tell stories, in 30 seconds, just know and be inspired with what the fuck you can do. You don't need camera rigs. You don't need special effects. 30 seconds, you can make fucking pure magic. So after that, what happened?
Well, the first thing that happened is we realized we left our coats in there, so I had to go back.
Did they throw you out or you left?
Oh, no. He's getting thrown out.
Physically?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's doing it?
His security people.
Are they goons?
They were like his. Yeah, I guess you could call them goons. Goons is a great word to describe them. They were the Secret Service guys. I think he had Secret Service protection, but it was like his private security guys. And they said, "Hey guys, come on, take the hats off and let's get out of here." And like, well, I was like, "I'm not taking the hat off. I'm gonna wear this. I get let out." And then I could see the cameras, and I was just like, "It's really boring. I mean, we used to love him, but he's just getting really boring." So like they could film that on the way out. So you see a Trump supporter getting kicked out. But I think we got our coats back though.
It was a mess. I think our coats got thrown at us, and
that's even better.
Yeah.
From what you guys have seen from that before he was president, and since you've been around so many events, so many rallies, January 6th, which I want to get to, the temperature and the climate in the country, because you guys are on the ground, from his most objective point of view that you can, how has it changed from that video or to when you first started going in the Trump regime, in the Trump reign, the Trump campaign to January 6th, or even to now, November 4th, when the supporters is out worldwide. So just explain that, like what you've seen and like how, you know, when you look back, you go, well, this period of time, this is how it changed.
I mean, he mainstreamed this, like, this craziness. Like you mentioned John McCain and he's treating another human being like that who served this country and everything. It felt so outlandish before. It's like those kinds of attacks on people, that way of treating people is kind of ordinary to see now. And when you talk about, you know, January 6th, like these conspiracy theories that would have seemed crazy, totally, totally crazy, are now beliefs held by a serious segment of this crowd. So when we were there on January 6th, interviewing people, talking to people, and, you know, whereas a year before people might not have known who Q was, half the people there are like, yeah, I know about Q, I love Q, and today's 1776 2.0. Like, that's the change, and it's a very short time.
Wow. What is QAnon? Can you explain it? Like, I mean, I've tried to learn about it. I watched these fucking documentaries. When did that become a thing that you guys were aware of when you were going out? Like, when did you become like, this is like a thing? And then when you were seeing people with the shirts, like, when did it become a thing that you guys like realized it was a real sort of?
I think it was 2019.
2018, we started talking about it. Like, what is this fairy tale people are talking about online? And then by a year later, it was.
And then in 2020 out there, it was like, you know, a quarter of the people you'd talk to would be like, yeah, John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive and he's going to be vice president with Donald Trump. He's going to come and take Mike Pence's spot.
And if you don't think they're serious, he bet this woman $100 that, you know, he wouldn't be back by September, and you haven't collected the money yet.
Well, she hasn't paid me yet, which is a little rude because
it is rude.
The bet.
I mean, rude.
To my knowledge, he's not vice president now, John F. Kennedy Jr. Because
how do you know that he's not the vice president? I mean, because it's presumptuous. You know what?
That's true.
Right.
Everyone's
that's the whole thing with these people.
But how do you know that he's not the vice president? How, do you really think you won the bet? Like, I feel like you're sort of being disrespectful. Is there a way to prove it?
There's going to be a cork board with a string attached to like all these different people. It's going to be a conspiracy theory show here.
my guy that they think is John F. Kennedy. What's that freak's name?
Oh,
Fusca. Not Anthony. I always want to say Anthony.
Mickey?
It's something.
Fusca. F-U-S-C-A.
Have you ever had the honor and the privilege of interviewing John F. Kennedy Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
You met that guy?
Yeah.
Does he think he's John F. Kennedy Jr. or is he playing into it?
Conveniently, he won't talk about it if you ask him about it, but he will take as many selfies as you want and just kind of smile along with it. He's clearly enjoying the attention, but, you know, conveniently, nobody will actually say it. They're like these drops of information that happen in the middle of the night that are shared, and all these people feel like they're part of something, but none of it comes true. None of it ever comes
true.
None of it comes true.
But if it is John F. Kennedy Jr., it's like the best disguise ever.
Yeah.
Because John F. Kennedy.
Can you pull up the fake John F. Kennedy Jr. guy? Go ahead.
He's,
I mean, how do you do that to yourself? How do you get like 6 inches shorter?
Right.
And you
that
grow.
That was the craziest thing about meeting him. I was like, I'm 6'3". And I was like, oh my God, this guy's 5'7". It's an incredible disguise.
Incredible.
And the fact that he like started working as a financial analyst in before John F. Kennedy even died.
Right.
That's the craziest part about the.
He's been living in Pitt. There he is with the hat on. And he's next to
pictures. Right
there. Oh, yeah. That's from our video.
Is that from our video? Or
yeah, right there. So people are. So when you see him out and about, did you ever see anybody acknowledge him as John Jr.?
Well, we did when we saw him.
That's our video right there at CPAC.
We were like, oh my God, it's you. It's John F. Kennedy.
Blink twice if you're JFK Jr. Of course, you can't help but blink because it's how the human body works. But, you know, he's been living in like, Pittsburgh for 30 years as a financial analyst of some kind. Like, it's well documented. He's got a family. He's got, I think, kids who grew up going to school there.
Dead ringer for him.
Yeah. Really, look at him. I mean, just look, right?
Eerie, really.
But to answer your question, yes. We saw him at another rally and people are whispering, there he is, and taking selfies with him, and they actually believe it.
Okay. That shit's crazy. When you guys are doing the videos, when you're out and about, you know, we talked possibly about me joining you at a Trump rally, which, you know, I feel like would literally be putting myself in danger. Like, I think they turn on you, right, when you guys are in character. Whereas me, I think they'd be like, get him.
Right.
Like, now, get him now. What's the most danger you've ever felt doing a video? What's the sort of most, uncomfortable you guys have ever, you know, or situations you've ever put yourself into?
Besides January 6th, which is like its own thing, that was definitely the scariest situation we've been in. Both January 5th and January 6th, honestly.
What was January 5th for you guys?
We were in D.C., and we got to D.C. the day before because there were some events with, like, Alex Jones and Mike Flynn and Roger Stone and, like, you know, just, like, all of the all-star of crazy. And the people there was, like, a militia that basically had, like, set up a perimeter in D.C.
So you'd see these guys on their walkie-talkies and all their camo and their tactical gear. And, you know, if you interview people, which we do, they'd come stand next to you like, oh, is this part of the fake news media, you know, just trying to intimidate you. And the police presence was like, I mean,
sparse.
On the 5th.
On the 5th and 6th, honestly.
Kind of walking around like, who's in charge here a little bit? And then the speeches were out of another place and another time, it felt like.
1930s Germany.
It's the place and time. It was like the way they're all gesturing, the crowd, like, frothing at the mouth. It was just like, felt like this is going to go wrong. Obviously, we couldn't have predicted what happened, but it felt like it was going to go wrong.
Did you guys, you know, they told you so, and I thought it was so obvious. I had went on my social media a few times. I told my wife a few times, I was like, January 6th, it's going down. Because when Trump put that tweet out, you know, that it's going down, you know, I had been saying, there's a video of me saying January 6th is going to be a fucking shit show. And I know nothing. Like, I know nothing. I wasn't planning on going there. I don't go to rallies. Like, I wasn't there January 5th. But I was like, January 6th is going to be a shit show. What did you think was going to happen on January 6th? Like, what did you guys imagine it was going to be?
Well, we thought there might be, DeVrom kind of called it from the beginning. I was like, it's probably going to be fine. Like, I'm an idiot, I guess, is like the moral of that story. But I thought maybe there's going to be violence and it would be protesters and counter-protesters or something like that, or Trump supporters versus police. I didn't think they were going to storm the Capitol. And when that happened, we were actually leaving town.
Yeah, we were sensing the temperature rising. Plus, like, the last five people we'd interviewed had said, today is the Civil War. Like, okay. Maybe it's time we leave. Maybe we get out of town.
You pussies. What the fuck, man? All this fucking work, and now's your moment to fucking shine, and you want to leave town?
You know,
when it's time to storm the Capitol? You fucking pussies, man.
I mean, that's what we were saying to each other off camera, trying to psych each other up. But at the end of the day, we were like, let's not be the reason violence erupts. Someone recognizes us.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of like, you know, concern for that. Like, let's not be the faces of that starting. So we're on the way out of town, and we just see the mob of people moving from the speech toward the Capitol.
Like, and you were not in the mob?
We're in the car leaving town, and then we pulled over just because...
we were like, Trump didn't tell them to go there. That would be insane if he told them to go to the Capitol, because they were, you know, the vote was happening.
Right.
Were you at that Trump rally? Were you at his speech that before?
We were on the outside of it interviewing people while the speech was going on. And then as he started speaking, we were like, we're going to go get our car and we're going to get out of town. But then once we saw that everyone was going to the Capitol, we pulled over and like we were now at the Capitol where all the people were storming. We saw them break through the steps and like the war cry get let out as they, you know, beat the hell out of all these cops who, you know, from our vantage point, we're getting the shit kicked out of them. And like, we're actually like acting heroically, I thought, the Capitol.
Absolutely. There were the people I saw. One guy was like in tears thinking he's watching all his buddies die in there. It was like pretty traumatic. And, you know, at first, you're not thinking it's going to get to that point. But it was like, wow, that's like five cops on those steps. I wonder how they're going to hold all these people back. And then it just floodgates open.
How close were you to like that crazy shit that we've all seen?
Well, the steps, I don't know. You know, we were on the side of the grass and like we like were kind of consciously like not trying to like trespass onto like, and thank God like we didn't commit any federal
crime. Yeah, because apparently it's a crime. You can't just go walk around in there and break shit.
Yeah,
and apparently, but apparently if you do the crime, you might not do any time.
Might not do any time, yeah.
Like you, some of them, like my poor guy who I was really on hard, my guy, the QAnon shaman.
Yeah.
Poor bastard. Have you ever interviewed him?
No. I don't think he was ever at an event that we went to. He was like...
He's from Arizona, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He's out west more. Yeah.
Crazy guy. I don't even know if we saw him on the 6th, to be honest.
Because I was on him hard, but then I'm like, he's got 4 fucking years. And I'm like, what about the other famous guys from January 6th? And like some of the militia guys,
the guys in the camo.
What is Zip Tie Guy and his mom?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Well, why isn't Zip Tie Guy and his mom in jail?
That's just a
what about the guy who put his feet on Pelosi's desk? Like,
yeah.
What's his name? Bingo or Jimbo or some shit like that?
Richard Bingo. It's Richard Bingo. Get the guy back to jail.
Before we get a little bit more in specific to the film, can you pull up that other video? This just one of those second videos, Wolf?
This is from CPAC.
I gotta be honest though, I'm wearing the sunglasses because I partied with Don Jr. last night. Oh. You guys will love this story. Last night, so we were hanging out with Don Jr. We're blowing lines all night long. Don Jr.'s telling us he's gonna run for president. Now, I don't know if this was the cocaine talk.
I believe him, even though he was
high. He's good. Yeah. Anyway, you were that messed up? Boy. Great.
I haven't gone to sleep. Oh. So if you see Don Jr.
You'll be wearing sunglasses too.
Have you ever been in the light fun one? That's more light fun. Have you ever been in the presence of Don Jr.?
Yeah, a couple times.
And what was that like?
Unfortunately,
like how much of his face is punchable? Like how, like, cause it, like, not that I would ever do that, but
right.
like you want to punch that fucking face, right?
We saw him in Iowa the first time at the, it was actually during the caucus, the caucus night. And we saw, and of course we pranked a lot of these people at in the movie, all the Democrats. He was the best speaker that we saw. Very charismatic, quick-witted, and like, you know, I know it's easy to make jokes about him because like Daddy Please Love Me, all the stuff with his relationship with his dad, but he is a really charismatic guy.
Yeah, it was like a stand-up act. He had people going.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I mean, if his face is pretty punchable.
Right.
You know, you'd want to, not that we would ever do anything like that, but yeah, he's pretty hateable, but you can understand what's likable about him. I mean, he just goes down the list, kind of like his dad. He's got like the greatest hits that are just, you know, making fun of everyone they want to hear and make fun of. And
it's also self-deprecating in a way that his dad isn't. It's a little bit like, it's a little scarier, to be honest, but I don't think he has... He, to his credit, maybe he's not missing part of his brain that Donald Trump is missing that makes him like especially,
or not missing the same part of the brain.
Yes,
right. Exactly.
He might be missing a different part.
Some other parts from
Do you think he'll run for president someday?
I don't. I mean, I never say never, I guess, but not when his dad wants to run. I mean,
no, in the no.
Right. Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, the Trump name means a lot to half the country right now. So out of all of them.
Out of all of them, it would be him. I guess for a time it would have been Ivanka, but he's a great speaker. So
yeah. So you saw him get the crowd hyped up.
Yeah, definitely. We saw him on a miserable day in Pennsylvania. It's cold, wet, terrible, and everyone was just eating it up. So
well, you had been kicked out of that event before he spoke. So I saw him there.
Ted Nugent was on stage and I said, shut up and strum. Because I'm so sick of his fucking political opinions, right? Just be a musician already.
Yeah. Fucking strum a fucking tune,
strum
man.
A guitar. We don't want to hear it anymore.
Cut the shit, man.
Play a fucking song. And everyone took offense to it, told me to leave.
Bunch of snowflakes.
Yeah.
He was very, very sensitive, you know?
He was. He actually said he was going to bring me to his deer camp, which I think is a hunting thing, and use me as bear bait. So I don't
on stage.
Yeah,
that's. Do you have that video?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It would be the other one where I'm standing there with a microphone, about to talk to someone. I think that one might be. Not that one.
Hold
sorry.
On. Not that one. I have it. Hold on. This is the Ted Nugent video.
They hate law and order. They have legalized lawlessness. They
shut up and strum.
Jeez. What's this guy want to tell me that law and order is a bad idea? Get that douchebag out of here.
We don't care about politics. He's just a Hollywood elite.
Bring him to my deer camp. I can fix him. I can use some bear bait. Are you with me?
Cool.
Yeah, cool crowd there.
Do you where are these people? Where, like, half of the country is supports Trump, and not everybody's a whack job like some of these people at the thing. Where are these people? They're all over the place. Because I think that we think, like, it's definitely in New York City. We're like, well, they're not there. I mean, we saw the other day in New York City, the huge, did you guys go to that anti-vaxxing thing outside of the mayor's office? That would have been good for you.
Yeah,
we were reading about it.
We were doing an interview at the time. And then I went to the one down by City Hall on Monday, the past Monday, but there's like the firefighters were there.
Right.
The other day. And so that was.
Which is crazy because everybody respects and loves and give so much admiration to firefighters.
Right.
And then you start to think I don't know. It's so fucking complicated.
Yeah, I think it's like
where
emotional.
Where are you guys at with the vaccine, like, and all this shit now?
I mean, I think that you follow the science and, you know, you should get vaccinated.
Right.
Sounds like people don't get as sick as often. And like, you know, we've been getting vaccinated ever since I was born. And it seems like we've got a big amount of the population that has gotten it. We have very few instances of anything going wrong. It's like, it's a no-brainer to me. And, you know, people use people getting sick from the virus somehow to double down on being anti-vaxxers. I can't follow the logic.
If you guys had to go to a specific place in the country that you thought this would probably be the scariest or the toughest or the wildest place right now, based on all you know, like, where would you say, what part of the country, what state, what county would you think is like, yo, this place is fucking bugged out, or we've heard, or we got to wear some knee pads or some shin pads.
the weirdest, I guess, people we've talked to, and the most out there. I don't want to say it's specific to any place, but like in Georgia, the last two times we've been there, we've talked to some people that like had some real out there ideas. But then we went to Ohio, and a guy thought that Joe Biden had a body double, and that Donald Trump's still president, and that there's an actor playing Joe Biden in the White House right now, and that real Joe Biden's in Guantanamo Bay.
And in addition to that stuff, he also said some crazy stuff.
He said some stuff that like wasn't true as well. No. So like, there's the South, obviously, but then like,
because you're from Kentucky.
I'm from Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah.
So what's popping down there right now? And don't say, oh, I've moved away. I'm in the big city. You're like, you
no,
know,
I've moved away.
John
I'm in the
Voight
big city.
And Midnight Cowboy with your cowboy hat. Like, what's going on down there?
I don't, you know, I have friends that are still there, but like, I don't have any family there. So I actually haven't been there in a
okay.
long time.
Oh, you moved out. You're in the city.
He's fucking John Voight.
But they have, you know, the governor is a Democrat.
Right.
And like, but they also elected Mitch McConnell again this last year. And it's overwhelmingly a red state. So I wouldn't say it's the craziest state, but it's up there.
I think there's something with you know, red states turning more purple and people having like a really strong reaction to that. And I guess that's happening in certain places in the South. I mean, what Jason said, we've seen it everywhere, but I actually arrived in Georgia one of the times we went there the night before Jason did, and I just went to check out this rally by myself, and it was a Stop the Steal rally, and it was fucking insane. I mean, it was like—
Why?
They're on stage, like Lynn Wood, what's her name?
Marjorie Taylor?
Oh, no, Sidney.
Sidney Powell.
Okay.
Up there telling everybody, like, it's time for revolution, and don't go vote. Because the system is rigged. When you're watching a bunch of people upset about, you know, the country and then telling them not even to participate in the democratic process, I think it's like just a step away from like calling for violence. It's like the whole system is broken. Nothing's going to fix it. Don't even go vote. It just made me feel like there's a certain part of the country that is like really far gone, and just being in that crowd was scary.
It's not geographically, because Facebook is everywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
Facebook is everywhere.
Meta is everywhere.
You mean Meta?
Sorry. So
please.
Sorry.
The guy spent a lot of fucking money yesterday.
Just to make everybody even more creeped out by him. Yeah.
Can you, Wolf, pull that January 6th video right there?
I'm here on January 6th in the biggest gathering of losers in Washington, D.C. in a long, long time. Here's one now.
Okay, I'm gonna have you take one of me. Yes, sir.
What would you say to Donald Trump if you were talking to him right now?
I'd say you're the greatest president of our lifetime, and I'm 65, and I've seen a lot going on that is so false and fraudulent, it sickens me, and I will die standing in my boots as a patriot for this country. If this goes wrong, it's not gonna be good.
There you have it.
Yo.
Such a great dismount.
I mean, that's an hour before everything went down, you know? It's like, this is what the people were there for.
That was the vibe.
Yeah.
And he died.
That dude died?
Yeah.
The only thing left was his boots.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yo, Wolf, pull that as a clip. Just right there. Just mark that, because when I say I need a clip, that's the clip. Damn, that's fucking good. So, all right, your film, The Supporters, which is coming out today, November 4th, streaming worldwide. Where can we watch the film? Where can people watch the film today?
It's out for free this week on thesupportersmovie.com.
And get it now, because, like he said, it is out for free now. But I don't think it's going to be out for free forever, because I believe that people will want to pay to see the film. I believe that people will be entertained by the film. And I think that we should be talking about Academy Awards because of the work, the content, the timing of it for Best Documentary. Or is it would you consider a documentary? It's not a documentary. It's a comedy.
It is a documentary.
It's a
way.
But Borat wasn't a documentary.
I think it's technically a documentary, right? Bringing our characters, we are playing characters, but into the real world, everyone else in it is real. So we're documenting what people's reactions to Derek and Dale are, and Derek and Dale's journey through the real world. So I think technically it is a documentary, but we want it to be funny. So
when did you guys think and plan to take the cumulative amount of stuff and make it into a film?
Well, in the beginning of 2020, we shot kind of a proof of concept for it in 2018 with these characters, which is like a short where like, does this have legs? And then in 2020, we started filming. We had a whole outline for a movie that did not involve COVID-19 because we had no idea that there was going to be a global pandemic. So we started shooting in Iowa, all these pranks with the Democrats. And then COVID happened, and we had to rethink the whole movie. Not only like the story of the movie, but how do we shoot this movie? How do we do it safely? How do we, you know, do it safely for ourselves and for other people?
And if we're taking Derek and Dale through this time in our country, then Derek and Dale have to get sidelined by COVID too. Like, this has to affect the story. And then as this election is ramping up, like, it all had to work. We had to redo the story. We had to think about how these guys would get into the conspiracy theories and everything surrounding COVID, and also dovetail that in with the election. And it just became a huge challenge. I mean, in a good way, we hope, but that the journey of the film was kind of the journey of the country, and that it stopped, started with all these waves of COVID.
I like that. I mean, you know, I know that how hard it is to shoot any kind of film. I know how hard it is to shoot a documentary. And did you guys finance it yourself? How did the whole movie get financed?
We basically, we shot it ourselves, and then we teamed up with Midas afterwards for the finishing it and all that stuff. But we went out and shot it, and it really was, we had two camera guys, Peter Barr, Peter Richardson, who went on the road with us, and basically, you know, we're putting in long hours for very little money, and we wouldn't have been able to do it without them. Mm-hmm. But it really was like, for a lot of it, it was a four-person crew.
Right, and then our editor, Jonah Oskow, came on after, and everyone just did it for free or incredibly cheaply, knowing that like we couldn't fund a movie in the same way that we could have maybe before the pandemic. We couldn't take it around to people. People weren't buying things. So it was like, we're doing this or we're not. And everyone kind of got on board, everyone meaning like the five of us.
Right.
So
how many hours of footage did you have?
Because
when I did the Tribe Called Quest movie, I had 100 hours of footage. And it's fucking brutal.
Yeah, our editor is incredible. I actually don't know, because if it's anything like our previous movie, it was like 140 hours.
Jesus Christ.
But we kept going out and wanting more footage and wanting more story to put together.
Right, when you
shoot these stunts, you have to then, if you didn't get exactly what you thought you'd get, and this is in the real world, you have to make it go fit. And so that involved going back and doing a bunch of long days of shooting to kind of make the story fit. So when we thought we were done, we'd rewatch. Inevitably, we'd go back out and shoot.
Yeah, it's
good
inevitable.
Part is like when you film pranks like this, it's like the 45 seconds that I'm talking to Joe Biden, we know that's the money part of that section.
Right.
You know, like there's no question on like Tom Steyer. It's when we interrupt him and DeVrom's coming in with his shirt off and saying he got hit by a car.
Right.
You know, like, we know where the meat is
right
on the bone for a lot of this stuff.
But it takes a long time to get that 45 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that's
and you may
our
not even get the 45 seconds.
That's the bad part about filming.
And then
like
even that 45
sometimes.
Seconds could end with Joe Biden just zinging you.
Yeah.
Joe Biden
not
made
plan,
him feel pretty
really.
Pretty sad.
Yeah. I was like, he like, you know, it's in the trailer, but Joe Biden, I confided on and say my wife is leaving me.
He did good though.
Yeah,
he did.
And was there an earpiece? Did you see an earpiece?
No, I did not.
And no, that was.
I was worried, you know, because like you saw him in those debates, in the Democratic debates, and I was like, he is not looking good. And, like, he just seemed like he was a little slow. And then when I stood up and like was staring at him in the eyes.
What did you see?
I saw a guy who was looking into my soul and was very present and was very annoyed.
Yeah.
And then
he gave his classic, come on, man.
And then he said, I'm beginning to see why your wife left you. And it was like, and everyone laughed at me, you know, and I'm in character, but it's still, you know.
So a room full of people laughing at
my misfortune. So yeah. It was a moment where I was like, okay, he's got it. He's still got it.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So when you looked into his eyes, you saw a guy who could take out popcorn or Jimmy crack corn. Who's the guy he took out in the back and beat him up? Popcorn.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Jimmy, I think popcorn or
yeah.
Jimmy
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, you want to do some push-ups, guy? Come on, let's go.
So you saw the guy who wanted to take you in the back by the school shed.
But if he did come at me, and I'm not like a fighting tough guy, I think I could tap him and he would fall over.
That's the impression you got.
Yeah.
Not that you would ever do that. Not that you're making any threats against the president of the United States. But when you looked into your soul,
there was that hesitation, like he might have been an ass kicker in his day.
He would be fine letting the Secret Service know to beat the hell out of me. is what I got from looking in his eyes.
I got you. Like, I'm having enough problems fucking making it through the day.
Right.
I'm having enough problems, not shit in my pants
right,
up here.
Exactly.
Now, what about my wife? What about my girl, my love? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh.
What about Mia Moore? Marjorie Taylor Greene. What can you tell me about her essence? Because that's what I was asking about, like, with Trump Jr. and Trump, like, when you're around them, you get an essence of, when you're in the same room as a person, like, Wolf's over there, and you're like, this guy's a fucking troublemaker. Right. Like, he's over there, like, the guy running the boards, he's breaking our fucking balls. He's a fucking trouble. Like, you're like, this guy's, he's no good.
Yeah.
So when you're around Marjorie Taylor Greene, do you get that? Like, is there a red beam of, like, light coming off her? Like, what is her essence when you've been around her?
It's like her essence, I would say, is like a room temperature can of Mountain Dew. That's what I felt well like said. Was coming off. Of her. But I don't know. She's a dangerous combination of like angry and stupid, and like she knows the buttons to push, but there's not a lot of intelligence behind it. So you always hear her say this shit, and it's kind of unbelievable that it's like the stuff she says is a rallying cry for people because it's so dumb. But she does know, you know, in the way that Trump does, how to emotionally like pull stuff out of people.
Have you seen her progress? Because she's definitely getting better and better. Like, have you seen any progression in her, or is she just, like, she started like a fucking bag of rocks, and she's still like a fucking bag of rocks?
I mean, in the movie, we've got the clips of her. It wasn't even a year ago. I guess it was a little over a year ago at this point, where she was talking into her phone, being like, Q is a person, he's a patriot, and it's all real, and she believed that QAnon was real. Like, that feels like you were seeing that same judgment and that same like mental capacity going into leading her district. Like, she's not very smart, I guess you could say, but she's also like sure of herself and kind of has that same confidence that's like fake it till you make it, like Trump, where it's like you don't make a mistake if you never admit you made a mistake, which is kind of like she's never going to apologize for anything. And that's dangerous when you've got people that are willing to, like, you know, commit violence in your name, kind of. I don't know if you were very close to her, so I don't know. You had
maybe a close. I mean, thankfully the room she was speaking in was like a third full, and people were kind of like, "What are you talking about?"
This is before her single went to the top of the charts. Because now she's a chart topping artist.
She is.
She's online, but. I don't know.
In real life, so it's not like people come out. She's not drawing crowds.
Didn't know who she was in Georgia.
Yeah.
And like, it was interesting.
It's an odd thing. I think she makes the sound bites and they go around online. And I do think it's powerful, but it's, I don't know. There's a self-assuredness that is not based in any knowledge. And it's kind of terrifying. And she'll never admit she makes mistakes. She just said any Republican who votes with any Democrat should be voted out of office. And it's like, it's just an obstructionist, like, fuck you type attitude that I guess people are behind.
If you guys had to bet right now, individually, who will be the president in 2024, what would you say?
John F. Kennedy Jr.
Because he's not going to settle for vice president.
He's not coming. He didn't fake his own death just to come back and be vice president. So he'll be.
So you think he's
next question?
All right, the Good Liars, the film, the supporters.
Donald Trump is going to run. He's going to run in 2020.
I forget who said it recently, but they're like, he's not going to be able to sit back and watch someone else do it. It's not for the love of the country.
No,
but he's not going to sit back and watch someone else take all the spotlight.
No. But I'm saying, do you think he'll win?
Ugh, I don't know.
People are saying it's favorable for Republicans kind of across the country. And I guess this isn't like a courageous stand because I'm only going to say a little more than 50%. But I do think it's probably a little over 50% that he would win.
Is there a part of you for business and for the Good Liars? You know what I'm going to ask you. You're like, shit, man, we could go really now. Everything we've known and we have skills as filmmakers, and we've made a documentary. Is there a party that's like, I kind of miss them, and I would love for the supporters part two 4 years after, like 2028, the supporters part two,
it would
2028
be
in like 3D,
a documentary, and much like Harold and Kumar, it would be Escape from Guantanamo. Because if he comes, we might be in Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
You might be too, you know? Like,
don't link me in with these fucking commies. I'm not in part of this shit.
We do everything together. Watch our movie.
Yeah, that fucking commie shit here. I'm not no fucking Guantanamo. I don't know what they're talking about. Part of this should have, would have, could have. All right, again, you guys, I appreciate everything you do. I was a fan before I got to meet you. And I'm excited about people seeing what I think should be an Academy Award nominated film, whether it's a documentary or a comedy. I urge you to watch The Supporters at thesupportersmovie.com. snapchat.com and follow The Good Liars on all platforms. TikTok. You guys on Snapchat?
No.
Wow. What a I mean, I'm trying to fucking, you're not on Snapchat, guys?
Spell that for us. What is it?
Okay. But these guys are on Instagram. They're on TikTok. They are on Twitter. They're on Facebook, too.
Yeah.
And the Supporters movie, November 4th. It's fucking fantastic. I'm proud to be a part of it. And these guys put in all the work. Final question. You're going to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
In hopes of getting what creatively, and why are you going to Virginia? Real quick.
Well, the governor's race is happening. And we're going down there. It's a tight contest. And we think that the Good Liars are going to interview some people there, but also Derek and Dale are going to be down there, we heard, who are the stars.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Derek and Dale love being amongst some like-minded people.
That's like your
people.
Red carpet kind of, like the Derek and Dale's red carpet event. Like, it's not at the Man's Chinese Theater, it's at Virginia,
yes.
And it's supposed to be rainstorms.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And there's going to be, there's Confederate monuments down there, which Dale's character has, you know, kind of a romantic relationship with. So, yeah.
What is your aspiration in terms of content that you could get from Virginia?
Well, there's the governor's race there. So we're going to be talking to some people there. And also, Derek and Dale are going to make an endorsement of some kind down there.
Mm.
And that could sway the election at
this
point.
Could be a big moment. If all of Derek and Dale's viewers tune in for that endorsement, it could, you know.
That's 318 subscribers on YouTube.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
18 regular listeners.
And the rest are bots.
Right.
Yeah.
Russian robot.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Rapport Stereo Podcast. The Supporters film is out November 4th. The Supporters Movie.com. I appreciate you guys.
I am Rapport Podcast.